Good evening. Welcome to tonight's meeting of the City of Tucson's Planning Commission. My name is Chris Ortiz-Pino, and I am the chair of the Planning Commission. The responsibilities of this body are to advise the mayor and council and the Planning and Development Services Department on the adoption of long-range plans, policies, specific plans, and regulations that affect land use and development. Will staff please call the roll?
Certainly. Thank you. Chair Ortiz-Pino?
Present.
Vice Chair Kenny?
Here.
Commissioner Lampo?
Here.
Commissioner Lane?
Here.
Commissioner McCancy? Commissioner Schwartz?
I'm here.
Commissioner Small?
Present.
Commissioner Walczak?
Here.
Commissioner Wellett?
Here.
Commissioner Young? And Commissioner Zagier?
Here.
All right, let the record reflect that a quorum is present.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to go ahead and call for the next item, number two, approval of legal action report from April 9th, 2025. Can I entertain a motion for approval?
So moved.
And a second.
Second.
Excellent. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor of approving the legal action report from April 9th, 2025, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Excellent. Moving on to item number three, the Grant Albernon Area Plan Update Study Session. Would staff please provide the presentation?
Yes, thank you, Chair Ortiz-Pino. Tonight, we are conducting a study session on the Grant Albernon Area Plan. This is an update to an area plan that has been underway for a plan that was originally adopted in 1999. The existing plan has been amended at this point by resolution six times, with the last amendment in 2017. So neighborhood associations within the planning area sought to update the plan to better reflect current conditions within the planning area, and especially in light of the Grant Road Improvement Project, the widening of Grant Road that runs through the middle of the planning area. So this plan has been worked on by the committee in the city since first meeting in 2019. However, it was formally initiated by mayor and council in August of 2024. So the first question is, why a plan for the Grant and Albernon area, or why do these area or neighborhood plans in general? And really, the value of the plan, such as the Grant Albernon area plan, is that it sets a vision for the planning area. It establishes goals and policies to guide strategies needed to implement those goals and that vision within the plan. It gives this planning area an increased ability to influence development decisions within its neighborhoods in a manner that also furthers the overall intent of Plan Tucson. So as an area plan, it's really meant to work with Plan Tucson, but provide more granular guidance. This helps to provide guidance for the preservation of natural, historical, and cultural and human resources in the planning area, and also to accommodate development needs and growth within that planning area. And so this is part of an ongoing process for achieving healthy and sustainable neighborhoods within the planning area. I do also want to reference the image in the slide. This shows neighborhood and area plans throughout the city of Tucson, just to make the point that this is one plan within a broader network of neighborhood and area plans, which provide that more granular planning and land use policy information and other policy information to their respective planning areas. And so in terms of what the gap planning area looks like, The plan was set up based on a plan development team that was comprised of neighborhood representatives within the planning area, as well as a representative from Tucson Botanical Gardens. And so you have seven specific neighborhoods within the planning area and the Botanical Gardens, which is just southeast of the Grant and Albernon intersection in the center of the planning area. So this gives you an idea that the neighborhoods are Cabrini, Dodge Flower, Doolin Fruitvale, North Dodge, Oak Flower, the Garden District, and Palo Verde. And so all of those neighborhood representatives work together throughout the planning process To develop the plan update. It's an interesting plan in the sense that you have so many different neighborhoods that came together to work through this update process. And so this is just a broader example of what the planning area looks like, as well as showing the neighborhood and area plans that surround the planning area, just to provide a little bit more context about how this fits into the fabric of larger city. And so from here, I want to give an opportunity for a member of the planning team to come up and talk a little bit about her experience with the development of the Gap and some of the neighborhood outreach that took place. So Ronnie, if you can come up here, I would really like to hear.
Okay. Good evening, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you for providing us the opportunity to share with you what we have done since 2018. We started this plan because of some meetings that had taken place for neighborhood associations and who were interested in updating their neighborhood plan or their area plan. And from that, some of us neighborhood leaders sent out a weekly newsletter. We got together and decided that we would see what kind of interest we had from our neighbors, because this wasn't just two or three people trying to do this, to work this project out. So that was in 2018. Neighborhoods were sent a tickler, interest. What is your interest? Would you like to serve on a committee? We left it open-ended because we had no idea how long it was going to take. And we received information back that, yes, there was the interest. And then the next step was, did we have someone who had planning experience? Because that was really a big box to check off. And I kept putting an article together for the newsletters that went out to the different neighborhoods. And we finally had a neighbor step up who had been a planner during her previous life. So that's when we went to the city and said, yes, we are interested and we would like to move forward with updating the Grant Algernon area plan, which we call GAP. We received a matrix from planning department and we sat down with them, received the information as far as what needs to be done, where we were going, just to give us a guideline of what the plan we were looking for. And that was in late 2018, 2019. We, as a committee, started off with about 17 or 18 people, and we expected that, just looking at the 61 pages, this was not going to be a short little check the boxes and move on. But we left it open-ended. We communicated with everybody. We had monthly meetings in person. And then COVID hit. And we said, well, we had built up momentum and there was no way that we were going to stop. So we went to Zoom. Not the best way to meet, because some of our people were, as I am, were just not real techie with computers. So that had its challenges, but we worked through it and everybody was able to communicate with one another, asking questions and all. Everybody had blocks. They had looked through the plan and showed their interest of areas that they wanted to, that they feel comfortable looking at and making changes to. So that was that went on for a period of time. Yes, there was a disconnect, we have to say, during that time, but we would meet with the planning people And we got back into meeting as a group. Our chair at the time did outreach, and we had the people from the Department of Architecture. We had two different groups, and we had given them some skills to work on, activities to work on. There was some challenges in communication. You know, they had their thoughts and ideas, and we had ours. But there was some good information from the materials that they provided to us. So we got to early March of 2022, and at that point, we had been communicating. We felt that we needed a consultant to help us. We thought we were at a point to start putting this project together, because we had lots and lots of pieces and lots of pages, but we wanted to see how this would look on paper. And that was a little iffy. Finally, I reached out to our city manager at the time, and I said, you know, we need some help. We are lay people. I mean, this is all new to us, and we need a consultant to help us. I will say that if people look at doing these plans in the future, that a consultant needs to be local, because when we were talking about specific areas or streets or locations, they had no concept, and they were putting streets a half a mile away or three quarters of a mile away, and they were calling streets avenues and avenues boulevards, and it just was, we were ready to pull our hair out. I mean, it was so frustrating, because we were putting this specific information down on the paper, and when we would get it back as in a draft form, we go, where are we? You know, are we speaking the same language here? So thankfully, our people with the city heard us, and Carver and Dan stepped in, and we moved forward. And with Corin and with Rebecca, and those type of things kind of settled down. So what we did was we would get to a checkpoint, and our next big goal of what we were working on was, there was a picture up there was with the stickies all over. The first one we tried was outreach at the Palo Verde annual meeting. And we had a table, we had lots of different activities for people to do where they lived in the area of Palo Verde neighborhood. We had maps that we pinned on there. We had different boards of questions, what they liked about the neighborhood, what they needed, what they would like to see improvements on. And then we brought all those together. We also did surveys that went out to all neighborhoods, and we got really outstanding feedback from those surveys. And that's difficult, because not all the neighborhoods, out of the seven neighborhoods, only two did a weekly newsletter. And some didn't do a newsletter at all. So it was a lot of outreach from those of us on the committee working with those neighborhoods, trying to get as much information back as possible, because this is inclusive. And we also have an area in the Grant Algernon area plan that isn't incorporated into any type of a neighborhood. It's a group of HOA townhomes, and we just really had no communication from them, just up in the corner of the plan. So we worked through the neighborhood associations. Everybody was expected to do some type of outreach to them as far as getting surveys back. We had a lot of success with that. And we continued meeting more so as we were getting down to the end and draft forms. Meg was our person who did everything on the computer. She was really the only person that had an editable copy, because it got kind of crazy having people with the ability to go in there, and we didn't know who was doing what. We had all different colors, but changes, and were they something that everybody agreed on, and we would have to come back to the table. So, you know, we had to work through those issues because we had never done this before. But she kept everybody online on task with that and sending the information out to us, with us just providing the feedback. And the group got smaller, I'll admit. You know, it was a long time. 6.5 years is a long time to be working on a plan. I think we're to the point now, we've got a real solid plan. We just made some changes by one of our last meetings that we had. Tucson Botanical Gardens had actually engaged an attorney to do some of a portion of what they were doing because of properties that they have purchased, and the people are living in those properties until they pass, and then they will become the property of Tucson Botanical Gardens to do what they want. So with we had two meetings, one north of Grant Road and one south of Grant Road. And when we met with the group north of Grant Road at the Container Company, they are light industrial, and they have taken up almost an entire block. And they too are buying properties from elderly residents who are living in those houses until they pass. And so we wanted to be on the same page of these two big footprints in our neighborhoods kind of saying the same thing. And so that has been now worked out. So we just did another revision after, you know, probably 100 copies of this had been made, had been printed out. And we did that revision so that it's workable for everybody. Plus, they wanted to make sure that if they left, that another person who purchased that property was going to still be a good neighbor to that neighborhood and not become a big problem. So that's where we are. We have now done our meetings with our neighborhood meetings with, I think we got some great feedback during those two meetings that we held. And we're now at the process of bringing it forth to the city.
All right. Thank you, Ronnie. Perfect. And as Ronnie touched on, I'll go through a couple more of those things as well, just to show you what it looks like in the planning document. One second. So we'll start with the cover, and I think this has a little bit of significance to the neighborhoods and how the cover has changed in the document. You can see on the left, the current cover isn't really all that current looking, but the new cover shows the Grant and Avernon intersection as well as the neighborhoods around it, and shows the logos or the symbols for each of the neighborhoods. In many cases, these are on the signs.
These are the all of those are neighborhood ID signs, except for Doolin Fruitvale is the only one. So we just took something. The person who made this up is a neighbor in Palo Verde neighborhood. She's a digital artist. She was instrumental in doing the Garden District neighborhood ID sign. And so we asked her if she would do this for us, and she did. There are a lot of changes. We wanted to make sure that everybody got, their fair share on here. And we think that it's a really professional, viable product.
Exactly. And I think it does a very good job of representing the planning area. So when we get into kind of a little bit of background of what was updated in the plan, I covered some of this, the reasons for updating, Grant Road changes, the age of the current plan, update to align with other city plans, such as Plan Tucson, which is also being updated. But we were, you know, cognizant of that throughout the process. You know, key concerns were identified through the survey process and the outreach process, concerns about neighborhood protection, as well as development along the corridors, focus areas, Grant Road corridor, obviously, and the changes that are occurring there, Tucson Botanical Gardens and what the future looks like for the gardens, the industrial land use, this is the AGM container controls area as well. And then something that the committee worked really hard on was a list of community assets that are in the plan. It's mapped at the beginning of the plan in an earlier section of the plan, and then there's an appendix toward the end that gives information on each of the assets and such. And
right. We put those, we decided because there were so many. Palo Verde has, I don't know, 28 or 20, just a phenomenal number. And we decided that instead of having it within the plan itself, to put it as an appendix with everybody listed there, pictures, what they do, in the back of that, because it's fluid and people come and people go. And instead of messing with the entire middle of the plan, it was much easier at the end in the appendix to put it there so that if there were changes, it would be much easier to make those changes.
Thank you. So when all of that came together, this is the these are the major sections within the plan. Many of them are similar to what was in the previous plan, but each of these sections were updated and reviewed as part of the update process. We obviously updated the introduction. Neighborhood overview included more information about the neighborhood and current conditions in the neighborhood, as well as surrounding neighborhoods, just calling out a little bit more what the context is of the planning area. We looked at the land use and development policies, and those were refined and updated, as were the community policies, design guidelines, transportation policies, obviously very different conditions now from 1999 in the planning area. Stormwater management and flood control, that was a big change.
Yes, that is a big change, because with the change of the streets, what had been done to Speedway, to Ray Speedway, what had been done to Alvernon from the 45-degree angle to a five-lane road. Palo Verde is Christmas Wash, but it became more so with water, more water coming in from the exterior sides. And one of the main things that we looked at was on July 1st of 2016, we had an event that Pima County Flood Control calls it, where over 200 homes in the Northwest Quadrant, which is Christmas Wash, got flooded. Some of them were very serious. One person was out of her home for 6 months. But the issues were huge. What that did was, it brought the district, Pima County Flood Control, into the mix. And they said, well, if there is anything that you can find as far as vacant properties, we are willing to look at that. And luckily, there were two properties that became, one was just kind of a hodgepodge from the days of it was a construction yard. And they had gone far into arrears with paying their taxes. And I reached out to Richard Elias, who was our district supervisor. And that has now become Seneca Park. It's got three huge basins, all retention. We do have some overflow when we have a big event that goes back out onto Dodge and goes forward down to Grant Road, that will then be captured in what is going on the RTA at the corner, on the southeast corner of Grant and Dodge. there's going to be the big retention basin and the artwork of the red coyote. So that's being taken care of. Further upstream in the southeast quadrant, there was a home that a gentleman had passed away at. It came up for sale, and the district was able to get that, and that became Ritchie Basin. Again, that is a very deep basin on a smaller lot, and the water goes in, and we haven't had anything big that anything would come back out. So a great way to make natural parks in the neighborhood. We've got those two, and we have one that had been done back in 2014 through a grant, Conserve to Enhance. We had done one on a pocket park over at a water well. So all of these are water capture, and we can never have too much of that.
Absolutely. And so thank you for the feedback on that, because that really is an interesting sort of subsection. And I'm glad that we're able to capture that in the plan. We also obviously updated the land use policies, and we'll get into that in a couple of future slides. But I also want to point out just one other thing that the committee did was to draft histories of the specific neighborhoods that are also included as an appendix in the document. This was something that wasn't there before, but it seemed like a good opportunity to take that and document that somewhere that's going to be adopted and posted.
And everybody, you know, each neighborhood had the opportunity, and obviously, we've got some very large neighborhoods. We've got quarter square mile neighborhoods. We have 1.12 square mile neighborhoods. So just the history, and in some of the neighborhoods, we have some real old timers so that we can look back to see that in institutional knowledge of what has transpired over the years that we were able to capture for all of these, all seven of the neighborhoods.
Absolutely. And so as we move further into the plan, one of the major changes was to the future land use, or conceptual land use as it's sometimes called. This part of the plan designates the location, distribution, and extent of land uses within the planning area. It's really intended to guide growth through different land use categories to ensure compatibility of those land uses, provide for that anticipated growth, ensure availability of facilities and infrastructure, and also protect those community assets that exist, which were also inventoried as part of the planning process. This is something that, as a area plan or a neighborhood plan, is intended to provide more detail and more granularity than something that would be included in Plan Tucson, but they are intended to work together. And so as Plan Tucson is being updated and the GAP was being updated, we're able to look at that. The map on the screen right now is the draft proposed conceptual land use map for Plan Tucson. So I just wanted to give an example of what we are working with in terms of the mapping in Plan Tucson, and then we can drill down to what is in the GAP as proposed. So first, I want to start with some of the process and what we're working with now. So this is an example of one of the neighborhoods. I believe this is Garden District. No, Palo Verde.
Palo Verde.
Yes. So this is, no.
It's
north.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah.
Except for Oak Flower, which is from Alvernon to Columbus.
Exactly.
And the area up at the top above Oak Flower that is unnamed.
And that's part of the problem with these maps as well, is that they're just not labeled incredibly well. So, you know, it presents challenges and also legibility. So anyway, that's part of the reason why we're doing the update. So we worked with the committee very closely on reviewing what is in these maps and identifying areas where changes could occur. We also looked at the current zoning and existing land use maps, and also looked at areas of non-conforming uses, areas where previous plan amendments had occurred, and identified where needed changes could take place. We also identified a new land use category, which is the mixed use land use category along Grant Road. And I will get into a little bit more detail on that in a future slide. So this is the current zoning map for the planning area, which was one of the things that we looked at when we were doing the conceptual land use. It's fairly standard in some respects to other zoning in Midtown, where you've got, you know, focus on residential uses within the neighborhoods and commercial and office along the corridors. I think one interesting thing about here, particularly north of Grant, but you see a lot more R2 within this planning area than you do in some other areas. So this is the zoning that we're working with that we wanted to ensure the maps really coincided with well. And one other thing that we put in here, Commissioner Zagier had requested that we bring up some information on the community corridors tool and how it relates to the existing zoning and land use maps within the planning area. And so we've got this map as well. This is the same map that you saw when you were considering the CCT, but it does show the areas that are eligible for potential use under the community corridors tool by zoning classification. With the redder it is, the more intense the commercial use is. Orange would be office, yellow is the residential areas. So to just give you an idea of how the CCT fits within the planning area. Next slide. This is just real quick, wanted to go through the different classifications for the different types of land uses on the maps. These are consistent with what was in the previous plan. We didn't want to go and make wholesale changes in that, but we did add the mixed use category as well. And the mixed use category is a new category that is intended only along Grant Road in the area where the Grant Road Improvement Project has occurred or is occurring, to provide for more flexibility in a different variety of uses in that area that can promote more of a vibrant urban corridor, more transit-oriented development along the Grant Road corridor. It's really looking at providing that flexibility for the application of development standards. And I want to really point out, too, that this, a lot of what the mixed-use category includes came out of the Grant Road Community Character and Vitality Corridor Vision study that was done leading up to the Grant Road Improvement Process. This is a separate study document that underwent a lot of community engagement and outreach through part of that planning process. This is also something that was adopted by Mayor and Council as a approved document. So we use that as well to help inform the conceptual land use as it relates to the mixed use category on the maps. And from there, I want to get a little bit into specifics on some of the changes that we saw within the quadrants, within the neighborhood quadrants on the maps. And so the purple areas are the mixed use category. So you can see how that was added along Grant Road for, this is the Oak Flower quadrant. I don't know if I have a laser here, but there were also some changes that occurred in this one at Blackledge and Columbus. You see the area for office, high density residential. Thank you. That is an area where that has been developed since the previous plan was created, and what is there now reflects what's on this map versus what was within the plan previously. So we just wanted to make sure that we're bringing consistency to that.
Barbara?
Yes.
Sorry, just a quick question. I'm just curious.
Oh, no. The designation for neighborhood boundary does not encompass this entire rectangle here. It looks like it cuts off somewhere between Blackledge and Glen.
That's a very good question. This is the area that Ronnie mentioned earlier, where to the north of the neighborhood boundary is where you've got some of the townhomes that are not covered by neighborhood association.
And they've come to the Alvin on Grant Initiative meeting, and because they've had concerns about criminal activity, and so we have reached out to them as far as coming and working with us, and we'll work with them as far as getting neighborhood block watches going in their area or having it become, because it is an HOA over there, they could become in itself, they could become one small neighborhood association, because we do have some of those in the city. So I think they're in the process of the talk stage within their own community to see if they want to go forward and how they want to do it. Do they want to become actually a neighborhood association, or do they want to just do block neighborhood watches on certain blocks? So,
but it does appear that there's other types of occupancy in there too. There's office, and there's a couple different types of office, and there's some, obviously the high density residential, the yellow is the townhomes, right?
Part of it is, that's correct.
Yes. Yeah. And the rest are apartments from Blackledge to the townhomes up there.
Yeah. So Commissioner Small, one of the things we did when we were working on the future land use map was there were a lot of places where the zoning didn't match the actual land use category. And so you see some of that here to where there's some R3, but it was listed as a different land use category. So a lot of those land use categories ended up being changed from the past plan to this one. So they are now consistent with each other. And so those yellow portions are where it's zoned R3. There may not be multifamily, but in some cases there already is.
That's just the zoning of them, yeah.
Yeah. So it matches that zoning.
Okay.
So just if I could jump in and clarify a question, just everything outside of that thicker black boundary to the north is not in the neighborhood plan itself. Is that correct?
That is not correct,
not
Commissioner
correct.
Wallet.
Okay.
I will, once I get back here, the area in the black neighborhood boundary is part of the Oak Flower Neighborhood Association, but the entire box is within the planning area. So it is
gotcha.
A little.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think if we could look at clarifying that in the legend, because mm-hmm. it's a little hard to follow that black boundary and it doesn't specify exactly that, I think would be helpful in that
Certainly.
Understanding.
Right. The next neighborhood is actually four neighborhoods, is the Cabrini, North Dodge, Doolin Fruit Vale, and Dodge Flower future land use concept map. A couple of things here. Again, you have the mixed use. And then at the top of the map along Fort Lowell is what Ronnie mentioned is the area for AGM container controls or the light industrial use that exists there. This is a site. We actually had a meeting at the site and toured the site. It essentially looks like office or commercial from the street, but they do some different types of manufacturing there, but it's not your sort of typical smokestack type of industry that you'd imagine. They have in the area that is gray, it's currently zoned park industrial, but in coordination with them, the committee and AGM and ourselves work together to identify a potential expansion area. So should they pursue a rezoning in the future, they could look at expanding into that area based on the policies in the plan, which really dictate that the impacts on the neighborhood should the expansion occur. And they would need to comply with those policies as part of any rezoning that's considered. So essentially what the plan does here is it sets the policies that they would need to comply with and sets the area where a rezoning might be considered should it be requested somewhere down the line. So essentially we're not saying in this will be light industrial going forward, but it's an area where it could be considered going forward through a larger public process. Any questions on this particular area? One other section though, just to point out where you see North Dodge and there's the yellow section there, that is to the west of Alvernon. That's another area where we did make a change just to reflect current zoning, because what was there as lower density residential was inconsistent with the R3 zoning that's in place. So we just changed the map to reflect that. Any questions on this map? Two more to go. Well, two and a half. This is the Garden District. Again, we added the mixed use. We integrated some changes based on plan amendments that had occurred within the planning area. There weren't a whole lot of other changes on this particular map.
Except for the...
Oops, sorry.
Where it's notated...
Oh. Absolutely. Yes.
For the botanical gardens.
For the botanical gardens. And we have a separate map for that. Very good point. And we will get to that in two maps. This is Palo Verde. And in terms of this change, we also made a few changes, I believe, along Speedway to reflect current conditions, as well as adding the mixed use category along Grant Road. And then Garden District. So we did, or Tucson Botanical Gardens. We did something similar with the botanical gardens as we did with AGM container controls, in that we identified a future planning area for the gardens. We aren't saying that the gardens will go into that planning area, nor are we approving any expansion. We're simply saying, should the botanical gardens like to expand, this is the area where it could be considered for an expansion without requiring amendment to the plan.
I think Commissioner Zagir has a question.
I think as we went through some of the maps, I think it has been answered. So I'll wait till the end of your presentation to ask. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We are pretty close. So beyond the Garden District, once the plan got pretty well wrapped up, we scheduled two neighborhood meetings to roll the plan out to the public and get feedback. As Ronnie had mentioned, one of these was held north of Grant Road. One was held south of Grant Road. We had 25 to 30 attendees at each meeting. We received a lot of really good feedback. Most of the concerns that were expressed weren't really related to the plan. They were related to the widening of Grant Road and that project specifically, or other issues that people may have. So we really worked to try to keep the discussion on track related to the plan updates specifically, and get the feedback. I will say that the second meeting, it was a really good opportunity to converse with AGM Container Controls specifically, and we were able to have a very good conversation. I don't know if you had anything to add.
Well, they did. You know, it's nice to have them as a partner in our neighborhoods. Their facility is open for the Fort Lowell Corridor Coalition meeting. That's the neighborhoods that are north of Glen, from Glen to Fort Lowell, in that corridor with Tucson Police Department. And they have their facility open for them monthly. And they came up to us after the meeting with their concern of how they could move forward, because they like where they are. They have a lot of people who work for them who walk to work, and they would like to stay there. But because they are landlocked, except for those properties that they have now purchased, they would have to move. And their concern was, if they left and they have been good business neighbors, what's going to happen with someone else coming in? Because they have gone to a great expense to enclose this metal cutting that they are doing, that you have no idea what they're doing. There's no sound. There's nothing that goes out of off of their property. And that was their concern. So that's what they brought to Dan and Carver, what they wanted to have changed or the language changed so that that property would be maintained as light industrial, but not a problem to the residents around there.
Thank you. And so they were very good neighborhood meetings, I will say again. There were some, you know, questions about mixed use, things like that. People were interested in really learning about the plan. So where are we in the process now? We're at our study session. Hopefully you will move this to public hearing. We're looking at potentially a June 4th public hearing. And then from there on to mayor and council, which will likely be August 6th, since there is not a July meeting. And so based on that, staff's recommendation is that the Planning Commission set this item for a public hearing, Planning Commission public hearing on June the 4th. So with that, I will open up the floor to questions.
Commissioner Walczak.
I have questions.
Yes.
Hi, Ronnie. Kylie. Hi. This is exciting to see your plan finally come up for approval, because we in our neighborhood have been tracking along roughly the same timeline. It's taken forever. I just have a couple of questions, a couple of them just out of curiosity, but I'm thinking about neighborhood plans and how laborious they are. And is it unusual in Tucson to have an area plan involving so many different neighborhood associations?
No, there's a lot of area plan. Are you area plans?
Right, where a lot of different neighborhood associations come together to work on one.
I can't give you the exact number. I'm sure that someone here can.
Yeah.
Look at that map that shows the amount of land your area plan covers in the metro region. It's not insignificant. It's big.
Yeah.
It seems efficient.
Yeah, Commissioner Walczak, there was a point in time, I believe it was like in the 90s at some point, to where we were really having a lot of neighborhood plans in the city. And I think there was this idea that we wanted to think a little, well, one, we didn't want to continue to do that, you know, so many neighborhood plans. But also the fact that a lot of times, you know, they really have similar issues,
yeah,
and really can be planned together. And I think that's when we started to kind of add in some area plans. So there are a handful of them. There aren't as many as neighborhood plans, but we do have them.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. One other question, again, just out of curiosity, when you open up your study, you have this sort of gateway treatment looking banner on the front of it. Is that planned at all as part of the Grant Road expansion project, like a gateway fixture, like the thing that we have at Fifth and what's it called? Wait, Five Points. They have them in San Diego a lot, so you know what neighborhoods you're going into, right? You drive underneath them.
I don't believe it is, but it was something that came up out of the design from the neighborhood for the cover.
You pull everything together, yes.
Okay. And then, okay, I think you touched on this in your presentation, Carver, but I was maybe not paying as close of attention then as I should have been. But I'm curious, Ronnie, what the discussions were like in your neighborhood. Why mixed use designation only exists along Grant Road and then not on the other, along the other major or arterial streets, and how the corridor, the community corridors tool might impact those other streets? Because, well, first of all, I'm just curious, was the fact that there's only mixed use along Grant Road intentional in your plan? Did people not want mixed use elsewhere?
So Commissioner Walczak, I can talk a little bit to this, and then Ronnie, feel free to jump
go
in.
Ahead.
So there's a couple things related to this, is that there are land use categories on other corridors that are also residential, office, commercial. And so those are technically mixed use.
Yeah.
What this was a reflection of that CCV plan that we had mentioned previously, which had specific direction related to that. So it was the CCV plan, and then there were plans for potential expansion of the Grant Road overlay as well. So again, it tracks with that as well. And that's the reason why there's the differential between the mixed use corridor on Grant Road versus on the others. There's planning that went behind that.
Okay. And then just last, is it too late to fix a couple of typos in the introduction?
Not
before it goes. Okay, great.
Thank you.
We'll talk about
you know,
that.
You can only look at this a million times and you can look at it and still, and the number of people who have proofread this.
Oh, I get
and
it.
And we've got a lot of teachers and it just, I guess you become numb. Your eyeballs are just, so no, please help us. We appreciate it.
Okay. Great job. That's all. Those are all my questions. Thanks.
Commissioner Zagier.
Oh, hi. As I requested, I sent out an email to include the CCT mapping of potential areas that can change the zoning as far as height. And I'm not sure if the neighborhoods in the area of the gap are aware of the new CCT regulations and how that might affect the heights next to their residential areas. And as Council Dahl brought up, that neighborhood notices would be sent out if somebody is applying the CCT tool or the CC tool to any of the areas, well, throughout Tucson along the corridors and arterial streets. So will the map that you so kindly brought up, again, thank you so much, with short notice for you to pull up the map of that area. Thank you for doing that. Will that be included in the gap area plans as far as a new update to certain zoning and mixed use, because it is mixed use as far as because you can have commercial on the bottom and residential on the top as they do along downtown corridors. So is this going to be included in the Grant Avenue, the area plan?
Commissioner Zagier, the existing zoning map is included in the plan, and the CCT is tied to the existing zoning within those areas. So it is through that sense. I will say that, we have had a lot of conversations about the CCT with both the GAP committee, but also it was brought up at both of the neighborhood meetings and we did discuss that. So it has been a part of the discussion throughout, and they are aware of that tool and the potential use of that tool.
Great, thank you so much.
Commissioner Lampo.
Thank you. My notes are about to disappear. My computer's dying. I have a few. The spelling errors, I found a few, just minor ones. On page 16, it's list. There were a few others, really minor stuff. 39, you have policies spelled as polices. The kind of a nitpicky thing about the these generalized land use maps is that the low and moderate density residential is in a separate category. Be good if that could be in the same legend side as all the other land uses. I had a question for you. There's a lot of references to CPTED, crime prevention through environmental design. What was the purpose for that?
SEPTED?
Yeah.
Well, we are the central city. We are central city neighborhoods, and there is a lot of criminal activity that is apparent by the project that the city of Tucson Police Department is doing right now with the Viva project over in Dodge Flower at 2550 North Dodge. So one of the main things in our neighborhoods has been for 18 years. The Alvernon Grant Initiative started 18 years ago because of a project that was being done in the Dodge Flower neighborhood in the previous year, and it was called Meth Get Out of Dodge. So what it ended up happening was our criminals don't know boundaries of Grant Road. So what was happening was that the balloon was being squeezed. They were being pushed out of Dodge Flower. They were coming across Grant Road into Garden District and Palo Verde neighborhoods. And what we saw was a huge uptick of larcenies and burglaries and stolen vehicles and petty theft, whatever. That was the reason for the initiation of the Alvernon Grant Initiative. We meet monthly. When we first started that, it is a monthly meeting. People come to that. It is a place where neighbors can speak freely and not be afraid of retribution. They can speak to the police department about concerns with anything crime related. I've got a drug house next to me. I've got a meth house on this side, whatever it was. So that has always been a focus in our area. And as the police department has said, Midtown Police Department, and actually the commanders from the chief down, if you look over that area, it's kind of like a bubble because we are so attuned to hardening the target. And that is a portion of it is the septed of how to make yourself safe.
Thanks. A few others, and of course, my computer just died. I had a full list I wanted to share. It's okay. So Carver, you talked about Plan Tucson. I only actually saw one reference to Plan Tucson in this plan. And so it's kind of iffy, you know, because Plan Tucson hasn't actually been adopted yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of a gray area, you know, referencing a plan that hasn't actually been approved. Two suggestions. I would reference the pedestrian safety action plan. It seems like there's probably something that can be gleaned from that. And then also the Pima County multi-jurisdictional, multi-hazard mm-hmm. mitigation plan. Yeah. You know, issues with flooding, environmental issues, referencing that would probably make a lot of sense. Other than that, I think it's a great plan. I used to live in Palo Verde. I used to live on Pima and Howard for a few years. Loved the area. Wanted to move back. Ended up moving really far east. But I definitely am a big fan of this plan. I think it looks really, really good. So in addition, one other thing. I didn't actually see a section on how the plan can be amended. And you mentioned that it can't be reopened within, I think it's 2 years in some cases.
So the plan can be amended based on a plan amendment process that is outlined within the Unified Development Code. And so all area or neighborhood plans can be amended through that process.
So can you just call it out in the plan just so it's really clear? Another few, it would be nice, you're making a lot of very specific design recommendations, so chicanes and traffic calming measures. It'd be really good if we could just pull some of those schematic drawings and stick them in the plan. I'm sure you can find them somewhere pretty easily, just so there's something to reference. There were a few in there that I thought, man, there should be a drawing here.
We've got lots of those in the neighborhoods.
Yeah. But other than that, I think that's pretty much it. But great job. I'm a big fan, so thanks.
Thank you.
I just wanted to recognize Vicky has her hand raised. This is a study session, so you can speak at call to the audience when you have a chance, when you want.
Vicky was also involved in the planning committee, so She is not a member of the public as much as involved in the plan development. I'll leave it to you certainly if you would like for her to speak or not, but just to be aware, she is essentially the applicant, yes, or one of the applicants.
Okay. Noted. Ms. Vicky, you can speak.
You're...
Can you hear me? Okay. Now, I just wanted to talk to SEPTED that it's a more current community policing concept that it hardens the target, but it also gives designers ideas about if they do this, they might be creating a police problem and a safety issue. And it's a national kind of philosophy that a lot of police departments have adopted, as has the police department in Tucson. So, and it, from a planning designer point of view, it makes a lot of sense about hardening the target and making people aware that, you know, there's a space and you can't come in. And so I just wanted to reference that. Thank you.
Commissioner Wellett.
Just wanted to echo the comments on the typos there, and particularly take a look at your list of commissioners who are listed there. I think you're missing some, myself included. And then Kylie's name is spelled incorrectly. Oh, so double check, make sure you have all the right folks. But with that, if there is no other discussion here, I will go ahead and
to say.
Make the motion. What?
Yeah, I was going to wait till everybody was finished the discussion before I ask for a motion here. Quick question for staff. Sorry, former chair. what is the authority of an area plan or a neighborhood plan in contrast to the zoning code, unified development code?
Yeah, Commissioner or Chair Ortiz Pino. Yeah, so it's policy guidance. It's utilized in general when a rezoning comes in to provide guidance for really to make sure that it meets that kind of, I guess, you know, vision for those areas. And so it's really intended to implement the general plan. So it's more specificity than the general plan has. But it's really reviewed as a policy document. It's not regulatory like the Unified Development Code is. So you really do, you look at the policies, you look at the land use maps, and really think about it holistically and make sure that it really meets the intent of that plan and that it's in conformance with that plan for when you go through and have a proposal that comes in for like a rezoning or something of that sort.
So in certain areas of the plan, guidelines, policies are more restrictive, what happens then?
More restrictive than the zoning code?
Correct.
Yeah, so in a lot of senses, you will see sometimes when it is more restrictive that those get actually added in as potential rezoning conditions when it comes through, or if it's not in conformance, there could be adjustments that are made to that plan before it comes in and it comes into conformance with that area or neighborhood plan. Well, no, if they're not going through with a rezoning, then it doesn't have any impact on
the
by right development.
Design guidelines are just guidelines. They cannot be enforced by, you know, a developer who is developing something by right.
That is very correct. Yes. Sorry, I misunderstood the question.
What about areas where the plan mentions things that are not within their authority?
So, you know, there are a lot of areas in here that may not be necessarily related to land use, which is really the primary, you know, one of the primary purposes that we use it in planning and development services. But there are a lot of things in here related to transportation, related to kind of, you know, just kind of community benefit stuff and visions for things that they'd like to do that could be used in other ways. It may not necessarily lead to changes in development, but it could be used for a grant that they can go out and get. It could be used to show that vision to the Department of Transportation when, you know, advocating for traffic calming measures or things of that sort. And so while it may not have kind of the regulatory or the policy backing that the land use portion does, it does provide a document that the neighborhood can point to show kind of what they'd like to see in that area.
Mr. Chair, one other thing. It looks like it's the original plan has been amended, I don't know, 10, 15 times, give or take?
Six or seven, I believe.
Yeah, the list looks a lot longer. I think I was just going cross-eyed. Okay. Would it be possible to see some sort of side-by-side comparison or like an overlay with the existing land uses on top of the proposed land uses, just so we can see all the, you know, any major changes between what was previously approved and what's being presented to us?
Yeah, Commissioner Lampo, actually, when we were going through and making those changes with the community, we ended up having a map that basically showed where those changes would be. So we hatched out all those areas. So we're happy to provide that to the commission before when we come back.
Looks like Commissioner Zagier has her hand up.
Hi. Not so much a question, but just a comment. So as far as area plans are very beneficial, I know that the PDSD of Tucson do when people come in and plan on developing an area, whether it's a business or apartments or houses, is they guide that developer to the current area plan and as a suggestion as far as this is what the neighborhood wants to see as a way to addressing the needs of that neighborhood. The developers don't want to fight with neighbors. They'd rather find solutions to work with neighborhoods rather than going against them. So a neighborhood plan may not be a regulatory type document, more of a Plan Tucson policy, what they want. It shows when businesses and developers come in, it shows that they are respectful of the area they're moving into, and generally they would like to work with them. Anyway, that's just a comment. Thank you.
All right, well, if there is no other discussion, I would like to go ahead and make a motion to set this for a public hearing on June 4th.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of setting this for a public hearing on June 4th?
Aye.
Aye, with the condition all the typos are fixed.
Okay. That closes item number 3. Call for item. Oh, there's a whole other page to this.
I know.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody.
Item number 4, staff announcements.
PDSD staff announcements.
Good evening, commissioners. One announcement we want to share is that the public hearing, the mayor and council public hearing on Plan Tucson is scheduled for May 20th. Which is almost 2 weeks from tonight, 2 weeks from last night. So we're spreading the word and hope to see a lot of community participation in that public hearing. I think that's our only major announcement other than future agenda items.
Future agenda items. Yes.
Yeah. So future agenda items, the public hearing for the Grant Alvernon area plan. We're looking at in June, and then also the major streets and routes plan update will be coming to the Planning Commission for a study session. I don't think we have a date quite yet on that one. They're still in the middle of some public outreach that they're doing, but that'll be coming to you in the near future.
Excellent.
So, one other announcement I want to make is that we are starting to work on a code amendment related to middle housing. This is something we mentioned to the Planning Commission, I think over a year ago, when we provided an update on state legislation that came out of the 2024 legislative session. One of those bills was a requirement that cities adopt regulations to allow middle housing around our downtown area. It had a deadline of the end of 2025, January 1, 2026. So we're beginning that outreach process now. And we have some community meetings scheduled beginning May 22nd.
May 22nd, and then we have two more meetings the following week.
Yeah. So we'll send that information to the Planning Commission so that you're aware of those meetings.
Mm-hmm. Did you say middle housing?
Yes.
Well, what is that?
Missing middle, as it's often termed. The legislature referred to it as middle housing, so middle scale in terms of it's kind of that missing middle between single family and larger scale multifamily. So duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, and townhouses is how it was defined by the state legislature. Yeah, it's often termed missing middle. I like that the legislature didn't include the word missing because actually we have it in many of our neighborhoods, especially our historic neighborhoods have a lot of this scale of middle housing. But our current zoning makes it very difficult to build that scale of housing. So these new regulations are geared towards making it easier to build.
Would it include some of those smaller courtyard apartment
bungalow style development? Yeah, those weren't specifically called out, but I think that is the scale of development that we're looking at fostering more of in the community.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question about that. Will you be including the Drachman report that was recently written or having them come make a presentation to us?
Perhaps? Sure, that's a great idea. We can share that information when we send information about the public meetings to the commission. We can share that report and we can share a recording of their presentation to mayor and council, but we could also consider having that at one of the future meetings.
Mm-hmm. Can you repeat that? You can share a recording of their presentation with mayor and council?
Exactly. We actually had the Drachman Institute researchers who did that study, Bill Mackey and Greg Beach. They presented to mayor and council about 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
We presented the findings of their research to get direction from mayor and council on how to move forward with the middle housing and got some input and direction. So we can actually share that recording. It's about a 15-minute presentation that you might want to.
And you'll share clearly with us the direction that mayor and council also. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the direction was really to bring these options to the community and get feedback. And without getting into too much detail, basically the Drachman Institute gave us four options kind of from do what is the minimum required by state law all the way to expand these options citywide with some middle options of, you know, some other areas to expand to the city, including our corridors. So they gave us a range of options. I would say mayor and council were leaning towards those middle options of going a bit beyond what was required by state legislature, but not probably the full citywide option, but really wanted input from the community. So we're taking that full slate of options to the community for feedback at those upcoming meetings. Mm-hmm.
All right. Next item is call the audience. Hearing none, seeing none. I did see a hand up earlier, but it went away. I think they went away. So, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Aye.
Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it.